This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know, hear from the experts, authors, and others, and hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, it's Friday, so let's have a little fun. We speak with a guy who's obsessed with preserving classic cartoons. Plus, following the First Lady's example, we're going to teach you how to start a vegetable garden, no matter the amount of space you have. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is on vacation in Wisconsin. That's okay. The boys are here, bringing disparate peoples together on a daily basis. It's Jay Capadonia.
Phil, a pair of guys are putting their differences aside and showing people in a war zone that there's hope out there.
Always skating with his head up, here's Chris Martin.
What do you think about creating a special lane on busy sidewalks for people who are messing around on their cell phones? Yeah, it could be coming to a city near you.
I love that idea. All right, let's get things started, and thanks for tuning in today. Jay, we're going to start with you, since Jennifer's not here. This idea of bringing people together in the Middle East, tell us about this.
I'm going to tell you a quick story about food, because that is one of my favorite subjects. That's why I decided to do this story. Two guys, one is an Israeli, the other is a Palestinian, and they're both chefs, okay? They grew up on separate sides of Jerusalem. They met. One of the guys had a roving food truck, and the other guy just walked up, and he goes, oh, I'll try the food truck. That's how they met. The one guy tried a chicken frikke.
Chicken frikke?
Or frikke. It's a spicy chicken served over like wheat something.
Why didn't you say so in the first place?
I tried to call it a chicken frikke. Anyways, they got to talk and shop, and they decided to get together. And they put their differences aside. Remember, one's Israeli, one's Palestinian. They put their differences aside. And this summer, at a yearly festival called the Jerusalem Season of Culture, they're opening up a pop-up restaurant. And it's going to be called, and this is a terrible, rough translation.
Uh-oh.
2.5 miles between knife and fork. Because that's how far they lived from each other. But if they were to go to either side of their neighborhoods, if they were to travel that 2.5 miles, they probably would have been detained. They would have been shot. They would have had rocks thrown at them, something.
So now they're going to hang out in the restaurant together.
Now they're going to open up a pop-up restaurant during the festival.
I am just going to take a guess that this is the case, that when you go to the Middle East, there are more Palestinians and Israelis who are happy to be living amongst each other in harmony than there are who vehemently hate each other.
You're probably right, but that vehemently, that small percentage there.
Those are the people that make all the noise?
And they make a lot of noise.
Isn't that how it usually works, too? It's a small group of bad apples that upset the whole apple cart, as they say.
They're the ones with all the juice.
Yep.
That is correct.
Well, they're extremists, too.
Well,
I love the story.
It is. And it's when everybody else is talking about the ground war out there, we found the story behind the story. And thanks for that, Jay, because you've just justified our existence.
Proving, once again, food brings everybody together.
It does. It does. Follow the Italians, I'm telling you.
Not only food.
Mangia.
But online dating services bring people together, Jay.
I love the online dating. I was an online dater for a little while before I met the lovely GF.
Look at you.
I'm serious.
Was an online dater.
I was an online dater.
It almost sounds like a 12-step meeting.
Hi, I'm Jay. I'm an online dater. Later. Hi, Jay.
First step is admitting it.
Well, I did actually go through the eHarmony. If you're not familiar with eHarmony website, that is a very Christian-based or faith-based online dating experience. They ask you a lot of questions about God and how much you go to church and all this stuff. Well, keep that in mind while I tell you about another gentleman that some people may or may not know by the name of Fred Durst. Now, Fred Durst used to be a rocker.
Yeah.
A rocker and a half. He was top of the pile, king of the castle. He had a band called Limp Bizkit.
1998 to 2001, nobody was bigger than Fred Durst for that period of time.
He was gigantic, and he did all of the classic rock star things. The drugs, the big cars, the girls, the this, the that, the everything.
Known for the famous ladies, too.
Yes, yes, he was a yes. He dated a lot of stars. Let's just say that. I'll clean it up for this show, Phil.
Thanks.
So,
and he wore tennis shoes.
That's very true.
And a backwards hat.
But the guy, and he rocked the lifestyle. He wasn't afraid to get the tats. He wasn't afraid to party in Hollywood. He wasn't afraid to drive the cars.
I thought this was a story about eHarmony.
Get this,
and online dating.
The faith-based online dating experience that is eHarmony is teaming up with Fred Durst to come up with an ad campaign in order to lighten up the faith-based, Christian-valued website.
Well, unless Fred Durst has had some sort of life epiphany and he's come to Jesus, is that possible? Do we have any word about that?
Well, it is possible, but I highly doubt it. Fred Durst is actually going to be directing a series of spots that instead of go through, when you watch an eHarmony commercial, it's very, I'm going to tell you about love and life and passion, and we're going to match you up with somebody who has the same values.
Like Fred Durst.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Durst's job, his job is to throw that out the window and come up with a more lighthearted approach to the faith-based dating.
How about that? Now, I will say, if there's a loving, forgiving God up there and Fred Durst is allowed in, we've got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, the rest of us are good. The rest of us
That's
are good.
That's very true.
I do feel like he has turned himself around a little bit, because have you heard his remake of Behind Blue Eyes? It's heartfelt, touching even.
What is Behind Blue Eyes?
You don't know Behind Blue Eyes. No one knows what it's like. You know this song, Jay.
The who?
Chris and his
to
singing.
To be hated.
Oh, yeah. All right. Very good, Chris.
Yeah. Good job.
Opportunity to sing. He takes it every chance.
Seriously.
You had to ask.
All right. You know, I love the Swedish meatballs. You don't know that about me, but I'm just bringing it out there. The Swedish meatballs and that berry sauce. What's it called? The Loganberry? Is that what it is?
I just say, Mom, more sauce.
Yeah, exactly.
She goes, okay.
They serve that at the IKEA.
They do, and they're very good at IKEA. Here's something else you can find at IKEA. You can now... This is actually really great. You can now adopt a pet at IKEA.
All of them or just some of them?
Tempe, Arizona, and in Singapore. So this IKEA in Singapore decided to come up with this great idea. So as you walk through the IKEA in Singapore, you see these cardboard cutouts of animals, of dogs. Okay? And you go up to it and you use your cell phone and you scan it, or you use the IKEA scanner that they give you.
Right.
And it gives you all the detailed information about the pets. And then you can either add to cart or not add to cart and move on to the next one, just like anything in the store. And then at the end of the day, they give you a slip. Then you go to the local shelter and you pick up your dog.
How about that?
Now, the marketing behind it is they put the cardboard cutouts in certain areas in the store because they have all the bedroom set up and all of the bathroom set up. They want you to see what that dog is going to look like in your home.
I love it.
Genius.
Yeah. So you know what? Can also.
This is all part of a longer frame of mind, though, at the IKEA. Because if you go to the ones that are not making pets available for adoption right now, they've had this long-standing campaign where if you buy a plush toy, you get a little card and you bring it up to the checkout, and IKEA would donate $1 for every one of those plush toys to pet adoption.
Look at that.
Yes.
So if you're in Tempe, Arizona, go adopt a pet there. I think it's a fun way to do it. No assembly required. No little tools will come with your puppy.
Do they have anything exotic like Bengal tigers or?
No.
Well, no. You know,
it's just standard household animals.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, or Swedish dogs, Swedish breeds. Yeah.
Like what? What's a Swedish breed?
I don't even know. Yeah.
Aren't greyhounds Swedish?
A Schmergenbergen Worgen?
No, I would have to. I'd have to Google that. But like a Swedish Valhund, for instance.
Valhund. Oh,
they're watchful, Valhund. Alert, energetic, friendly, and fearless. And they're from Sweden.
Oh, Dachshund? Dachshund?
No, that's not, it's not a Swedish dog.
Oh, okay.
Nice try, though.
Well, you said Valhund.
Yeah. So we love the marketing behind that, and I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. All right. Now, Chris, I am particularly curious to know more about this cell phone walking lane you talk about.
Yeah.
What is going on? What is that? Explain how that works.
Well, it works. It's exactly like you would separate the street. You know what I mean? You have a set of double lines going down the not the middle of the sidewalk, but about a third of the sidewalk, and it separates the sidewalk into two paths. One of those paths, it clearly stencils out, no cell phones. The other side, it says, cell phones, walk in this lane at your own risk, by the way.
Oh, I love that.
So this is happening in Washington, D.C. They may be starting a new trend. What do you guys think about people that walk down the sidewalk street just staring down at their cell phone, oblivious to the rest of the world? Is it dangerous? Is it annoying?
It is one of the greatest people-watching moments ever. Because you just sit there and you've got your ice cream or your frozen yogurt and you're watching some idiot walk down with their head down and you just hope that they walk into a parking spot.
Well, see, that's right. Why.
Or into each other.
When you ask what I think it's absolutely fine because they're going to eventually walk into something and they'll either change their behavior or not.
Exactly.
Well, Jay, I'm glad you couched it by saying it's a great people watching experiment because that's exactly what this was. The actual Washington, D.C. did not paint this stenciling on the sidewalk. It was actually a National Geographic staged event for a television show. They're doing this television show on behavioral science. So here's what they found out. Very few people actually obeyed the stenciling on the sidewalk. The cell phone lane did attract people on bikes, people in motorized wheelchairs, and people with luggage on wheels.
That would run over people who were not paying attention because they were on their cell phones.
And for whatever reason, people sucking on vaporizer pens tended to move towards the cell phone lane. So.
Interesting. Yeah.
There's a picture of this experiment on the show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com if you'd like to take a look at it. And if you've got some spare cash, there's something prehistoric and large and formerly stinky available for you to bid on this very minute. And we're going to tell you about it when we return here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. We're here every weekday afternoon at 2, and we're so glad you tuned in. I'm Phil Hewlett. Jennifer Bjorklund is typically here, but she's on vacation in Wisconsin. She'll be back Monday. Jay Campidonia is here, so is Chris Martin. So most of the friends, just the boys. Having a nice Friday here with you. We have Nick Fedoroff coming up on the show a little later. Teach you how to start a vegetable garden, no matter how much space you have.
I love Nick.
In your yard. Yeah. Wonder how long his beard is these days.
That's true. We need to ask. Like, first question out of the box. Yeah. Hey, Nick, I don't care how you're doing. How long's the beard?
Yeah. Think he's got any turf or soil products at the tip of that beard?
You think he's got stuff living in it? Like, you think he tried to grow a garden there?
Well, that would be efficient.
How long is it? I don't know, Nick. Is it down to his belly button?
It's like belly button belt.
It's ZZ Top style.
Yeah.
And also coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to a guy who's made it his life's work to preserve classic cartoons. And we've actually posted videos of his five favorites. And this, you're not even going to recognize some of these, I bet. Our show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com. But let's keep things rolling right here. Just a little round robin. Get some stories in. There's an auction going on, Jay.
Speaking of preserved, you might want to run over to I Am Chiat's in Beverly Hills on July 26th. They're actually having a very cool auction. I Am Chiat's is an auction house in Beverly Hills. It's one of those kind of it's a higher priced auction. It's not anything that you would see on, you know, late night television or anything like that. And you don't buy things for a dollar. You might want to have $4,000 to $10,000. So you can buy five. Now, remind you get five of these things, and they're expected to go between $5,000 to $10,000
each, or just for the five,
for the lot.
It's for the lot. Okay.
fossilized dinosaur poop.
Oh. Wow.
I thought we had a ban on doing poop stories without gin in
that's
here.
That's a conversation starter, though, if you've got that on your mantle.
Right?
Hey, what is that?
For the man who has everything.
Would you like to come up and see my dino poop?
And here's the cool. Here's they actually have a big piece of poop. A 40 inches of dinosaur fossilized feces. And they expect that to go around 10 grand as well.
It's a great band in the 80s. Yeah. Fossilized Feces. They were awesome. Punk group. Yeah. Post-punk.
Fossilized modern. Feces. Yeah. 40 inches long. 10 grand. If you want, I am Chiat's in Beverly Hills, July 26th.
Yep, I think that'll go. I bet that'll go bigger than 10 grand. Each.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You'd have to build it its own shelf inside your house.
Maybe not. I think the mantle works fine.
Glass
yeah.
display.
40 inches.
Right above the fireplace?
Yeah.
What if it heats up? just throwing it out there. It's a little warm above there.
Bring it back to life. Reanimation.
Honey, right. Look what I got. Let's
but you
put
know
it
what?
On the wall.
It works no matter what. Anything dinosaur, Chris, the kids love dinosaurs, don't they?
Yeah. Especially dinosaur poop.
Yeah, there's a couple of kids in North Carolina that love to steal dinosaurs. It was a couple. They were arrested for theft. They were stealing dinosaur replicas from the Museum of Natural Science in Raleigh. And, the 21-year-old lovebirds were caught stealing a baby duck-billed Edmontosaurus hatchling replica. How were they caught, you ask?
How were they caught?
It's a museum, Phil. There's security cameras everywhere hanging down from the ceiling. They're not even trying to conceal the security cameras. I mean, I don't know what these guys were thinking.
Well, did they figure out it was a replica and that they have Steeler's remorse?
They did. Well, this replica was worth 10 grand. But yeah, the dude just jumped a fence. He grabs his 14-inch dino model and jumped back over, sticks it in his girlfriend's Mary Poppins purse, and they walked out. But they did have remorse, Phil. They came back, dropped it off on the back of the doorstep, and then turned themselves in the next day to police.
Good for them.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a lesson learned.
I'm guessing that they saw it on the local news. Like, the local news was like, look at these two.
And, now,
and they're like, oh, dino thieves.
Police are on the hunt.
Here's
for a couple of dino thieves.
Here's a quick lesson in fast food marketing. Taco Bell sold 100 million Doritos Locos Tacos.
Wow.
In the first 10 weeks that product was on the market.
I know I bought a couple.
Me
10
too.
Weeks. Doritos Locos Tacos. It took McDonald's 18 years to sell 100 million burgers.
Oh! Jeez. Is that a slap in the face or what?
I think so. Think of all the money McDonald's spent marketing those burgers, and in 10 weeks, Taco Bell. We just love those Locos Tacos.
They're good.
And they're only like 99 cents.
See, that's the question that it brings up. Who made the most money, though? Because McDonald's burgers probably cost more than Doritos.
Yeah,
Locos
but they have
tacos.
To support that clown and his family. So it
Ronald,
it's probably a wash. But
terrible.
we love the food and
we
I
love
think
funny food.
We're gullible about that stuff, especially at the fair. They deep fry everything, and so when we see things, we just assume, okay, it's got to be real.
That is very true, Phil. I am going to crush a lot of people's hearts right now. Over the past week, there's been rumors and actual photos of Oreo cookies, a new flavor of Oreo cookie floating around the internet. Major buzz. It was trending on Twitter yesterday. The limited edition fried chicken Oreo.
I don't know about this.
Fried chicken flavored Oreo. Nabisco had to come out and they said that it's not true.
Oh.
Somebody actually just kind of photoshopped it and just was having some fun. People were tweeting things like, you know, fried chicken Oreos, about time.
Right.
We like that. We like that.
But not real. Just a guy with Photoshop.
Not real. A rep from Oreo told a blogger by the name of Eater.com, that it was a fan who just photoshopped it as a joke and it caught fire, blah, blah, blah. But I did do a little research story behind the story.
Ooh.
There is a Los Angeles chef, Roy Choi, C-H-O-I. Okay.
And you've confirmed that's a real guy.
It is a real guy, Roy Choi. And he has actually created a Oreo-crusted chicken tender.
Hmm. Oh.
And there is a recipe on his website, Roy Choi. Go look him up.
I'm looking that up in a minute. During the break, I'm going to find it, and we'll put the link on the links page.
You got it.
Or the show fun page. You pick. All right, so tasty stuff. But you know what else the kids like besides dinosaurs? They love the Transformers, Chris.
Yeah.
Don't they?
Somebody does. I don't know. There's a large group of people that love that movie.
Here and in China, everywhere. What's going on in China?
It's especially huge in China. And in China, there's groups of Chinese villagers that have given up farming and started building replicas of Autobots and Decepticons.
Autobots and Decepticons?
Yeah, Autobots and Decepticons. Come on, Phil. You can't pretend you don't know the logo. Autobots, roll out.
Wow.
Good timing there, Mr. Stark.
Transformers is a huge pop culture smash in China, and now these groups of village farmers are taking spare car parts and building Transformer robots as tall as 52 feet in height. These things are pretty cool looking, but the real amazing part is watching a moped turn into a 50-foot ninja warrior, metal ninja warrior.
I love it. In fact, I'm looking at one of them right now on the show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com. Not too shabby.
No, they're cool.
Hey, do you love the cartoons? How about the classics? No, the really old ones. Wait until you meet our next guest, whose life mission is to preserve every old cartoon that's out there before they get destroyed and gone forever. He's going to join us live next, right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980. You are listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980. We have a Twitter. If you use the Twitter, it's at As We See It Show. And you were just mentioning the Oreo encrusted fried chicken from Roy Choi, and I didn't realize at first you were talking about the guy that started the Kogi food truck.
Oh, is that who he is?
Yes. We go way back.
Not bad, dude.
Yeah. How about that? So I'm going to just put a little mention on his Kogi Twitter there and that we talked about it. And we put a link so you could see what that is and see the recipe and all of that. It's from the Food Network, right?
Did we mention Food Channel?
Food Channel.
Is it the same thing?
It might be.
I don't know.
It's food and it's on TV.
That's what I do. I flip until I find something. And I'm like, okay, I'm done.
But we have the link to that Oreo encrusted fried chicken recipe.
Did we mention
on our show fun page?
We're more than welcome to have them in studio guests.
Hey, Roy, come on over, buddy.
Bring the food truck
and some food.
Some Oreos.
Hey, I'm going to get the name wrong, but we're going to correct that here in a second. It's Tommy Staths. Staths? He's a huge fan of old cartoons, and he owns one of the largest private collections in the country. He's doing everything he can to preserve cartoons that date as far back as 2010. Tommy, correct me, please. How do you say your last name?
It's Staths.
Staths. All right. And you are the Staths symbol when it comes to preserving cartoons, my friend.
Hi-yo.
Thank you very much. All right, so 1910, like what? Steamboat Willie?
Oh, no. Steamboat Willie came out in 1928, and there was actually hundreds of cartoons produced before that.
No kidding. See, we were always led to believe that Steamboat Willie was right out there in the forefront.
Yeah.
Like the train robbery was the first,
right.
The first movie with sound.
Is that the one with Mickey Mouse and he's like whistling and he's hopping up and down and you can see his cheeks blowing because he's whistling? Is that Steamboat Willie?
Yeah, that's the one. But you say how many before that one?
Oh, probably over a couple thousand.
Generally speaking, we don't see those. I mean, you are so into this. You're talking about cartoons that the average person has never even come across. Is that right?
Absolutely. Those are the films I'm working with, researching, archiving them, and now introducing them to new audiences.
Now, aside from them being really old, what's cool about them?
Well, they were very creatively made and done. And the interesting thing to me is that a lot of the people who were working on these films had no real training to do this beforehand because it just started up at that time.
They were just making it up then.
Right. So you see a lot of artists and producers working on films over a 10 or 20 year span, and they're perfecting their techniques. They're really growing with it as they go along with it.
All right. But when we're talking about old movies, I think most of us, our memory goes back to, I don't know, the 1940s, 50s cartoons, all those Warner Brothers, Bugs Bunny and the crew. I used to love Mighty Mouse. That was great.
Oh, yeah.
Later, Felix the Cat, and all the Rocky and Bullwinkle and their friends as well. That whole camp of cartoons used to love all of that. But what you're talking about predates that. And I don't know, those other cartoons, do they need help preserving?
They do in some cases. I mean, I'm coming across physical copies of these films that are 80 or 90 years old in some cases. And you'd be surprised, some of them can still be run perfectly through a film projector. And in some cases, they're deteriorating and they need to be copied and so forth.
And you have copies of these, perhaps? Or when it's the big names like Warner Brothers and, I don't know, Bob Clampett, for instance. He was a big deal. That was Beanie and Cecil, right?
Right.
Who?
Come on, you got to see at least an episode of Beanie and Cecil.
No, I don't.
I have to believe some of those guys in the 60s who were doing cartoons, maybe late 50s to the 60s, Clampett and then the Felix the Cat guy, maybe Gumby. Does that qualify? These guys all had to be on acid.
Probably.
Whatever happened to Hanna-Barbera?
Oh, that's way past my time.
It is. And you know what? It's when cartoons started to get a little cheap at that point.
Absolutely.
There wasn't the quality until maybe the Animaniacs came back.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
And then you had the new wave of cartoons with the Ren and Stimpy and all of those. You on board with all of this? I'm just coming up with these.
Absolutely. And as a kid, I loved Animaniacs. But at the same time, I was thinking about what cartoons were made in the 1920s and 30s. What are those all about?
Yeah.
And that's what I was really starting to research.
Well, see, this is all new for a lot of people. So you own these reels and reels of cartoons, 1,000 or so. What kind of film is that anyway? Is it the kind that disintegrates if you don't store it properly?
Well, all kinds of analog film can disintegrate. But these are specifically 16-millimeter prints, and these were made for rental, for home use, and then for TV use in the 50s. So these aren't exactly original copies, as you would think of them, that were shown in the theaters 100 years ago. But yes, nonetheless, they're all very old copies, and some of them are vulnerable.
And so if they're not preserved, they're gone forever. So what are you doing to preserve that film?
What I'm doing is, if I have anything that's very rare or unique in some way, I'll usually get it copied either to a new film print, which are actually still being made in some labs, or I'll have HD scans done, so we'll have high-quality digital copies of them. I've also given things to the Library of Congress, for example, where they can keep them for forever, hopefully.
You're the cartoon guy, and you know, the weird thing about it is, I was totally expecting you to have like a cartoon clown voice, like, hey kids, let's talk about cartoons. Whoa, wow. And you really are kind of low key. That's a surprise to me. But that's just an aside. I mean, don't take it one way or another. I was
always like hopped up on cereal, just eating cartoons all day. What are you doing?
Exactly.
Phil?
That's what I was expecting. All right. We posted links. You sent me five of your favorite cartoons ever, and we posted them. And one, the oldest one in the list, I think, goes back to 1913, The Artist's Dream by J.R. Bray. Give us just a thumbnail synopsis of that movie.
Sure. This is a film where the artist himself, J.R. Bray, appears in his animation studio drawing on the drawing board. And the whole thing about this film is that when he goes away from the drawing board, we see close-ups to the dog character that he's drawn, who wakes up and walks around and everything. And the picture on the drawing board changes every time the artist walks away. So this would have been a really amusing thing for audiences in 1913.
Yeah.
They weren't familiar with cartoons at that time. They just didn't exist, really.
And there's no losing out when you use a dog.
No, everyone loves dogs.
Yeah.
And the gag still lives up today.
Sure.
I mean, maybe not the animation, but the gag itself. You see that in movies all the time now.
Farmer Alfalfa Sees New York. This is 1916. Paul Terry is the animator.
Right.
Quick idea, what is that about?
Farmer Alfalfa, very famous cartoon character for over 40 years in the earlier part of the last century. He goes from his farm home to New York City, and he almost gets rooked. His money almost gets taken away from him by a beautiful woman and then in a card game, but he wins in the end.
Oh, that's good. There's a happy ending. We like that. Bobby Bumps puts a beanery on the bum. This is 1918. I love that title. Earl Hurd.
Yeah, Bobby Bumps, also a big character at this time. He is answering a wanted ad for a busboy at a restaurant, and he goes through all kinds of trials and tribulations and messing things up.
Now, is there audio with this? Because you say he answers it, or is this like silent movie era?
These are all silent films.
Oh, okay.
The ones that I'm working with are primarily silent.
Now I've got to learn how to play the pipe organ when I watch these then. Here's one. Coco the Clown in The Tantalizing Fly. This is a Max Fleischer. Now, that's a big name, dating way back to 1919.
Absolutely. Max Fleischer is known for Betty Boop and Popeye cartoons. But he's
making
cartoons as far back as the late 1910s. And Coco the Clown is his first big character. The gimmick here is that cartoon clown comes out of the inkwell and has all kinds of problems in Max's live-action world.
I think I've seen that.
Have you seen this one?
Yeah, that's cool.
Another big name, Otto Mesmer, and Felix the Cat in Astronomiaus. Is that how you say that?
That's right.
Okay, 1928.
Yes, Felix the Cat goes back to 1919, and many people, especially baby boomers, remember him on TV in the 50s and 60s. That's because the character was still being animated at that time. But there were over 125 Felix cartoons made before the sound era.
Is that auto dealership still down there? I think it's Studio City. It's like a Felix Chevrolet. And
downtown
big,
Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's got that big Felix,
cat. Isn't Felix Chevrolet is still down there near Staples Center?
Thing is still rad.
Is Felix the Cat the one that carried around?
Next to the shrine, auditorium.
Okay.
Like that's a bag of tricks? Did he carry around a suitcase with a bag of tricks?
Yes, and in the 60s, he was a drug pusher.
Oh, is that right?
Come on.
Didn't know the behind-the-scenes story.
Well, this is exciting stuff, and so if people want to get interested or perhaps involved in your effort there to continue the preservation process, Tommy Stathis,
yes.
Where do they go online to get involved?
They should look at my brand-new personal website, which is TommyJose.com, TommyJose.com.
So is that your cartoon name?
No, it's my first and middle name, and I like using it.
All right, very good. Okay, now you go work on getting your cartoon voice, and that'll have you have the website, the 1,000 reels of cartoons. You get the cartoon voice. You've got the full package. You're ready to go. Just working marketing there with you, Tommy. Great to talk with you, and you're doing great work, and we're going to watch your classic cartoons on the show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com, and we'll put a link to your website as well.
Thank you so much.
That was fun.
Okay, real quick.
Yeah.
Favorite cartoon of all time, guys. Go.
Favorite ever?
Favorite series, not like favorite specific, like not nerd style like that guy.
Woody Woodpecker.
Woody Woodpecker, you?
X-Men.
Oh, He-Man. Yeah.
He-Man?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. He-Man was cool, too.
Did you have a thing for She-Ra?
I did.
Oh.
Yes.
Masters of the Universe.
These days, we just hit the brakes on the family minivan. These days, your grocery bill is going through the roof from bread to milk to meat to vegetables. So how do you save some money? Well, of course, you start your own vegetable garden. Don't think you can do it? We'll convince you otherwise next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. We love the veggies. We love the salad. Jay, folks order salads all the time, and sometimes they're a little more organic than you expect.
You really got to hear this story. Guy orders a salad in China, and there's a cockroach on it. Well, he's got a problem with it. Excuse me, waitress, there's a cockroach in my salad. She comes over and says, there's nothing wrong with that cockroach. Watch. Picks it up and eats it.
Oh, jeez.
That's the way to do it.
Picks it up and eats it. In that culture, she says, that's what we do. Businessman obviously left shortly after.
He didn't leave a tip?
No.
Did he finish his salad?
Come on.
Probably not.
Okay. People just don't know how to get healthy these days, but you do have to save some money because your grocery bill is going through the roof, isn't it? Have you looked at it lately? One way to save money, grow your own veggies. Don't know how to do that? That's why gardening expert, gardening guru, mythological human walking on this earth with us other mere humans is Nick Fedoroff, and he joins us live now. Nick, how are you, buddy?
I really don't know how mythical I am because every time that car payment needs to be made, they're on my doorstep.
They can always find us, can't they?
Hey, wait a minute. You know what? I know something. What's the problem with this cockroach thing? Every time I eat, two or three of them fall out of my beard.
Well, see.
Okay, that was the question we had, Nick. And God, it's good to talk to you. I haven't talked to you in about 15 years. But how long is the beard nowadays?
You know what? Let's put it this way. It's long.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. If anybody wants to know how long my beard is, they got two ways of doing that. They can watch my television show every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on KLCS.
All right.
Okay.
CBS at KLCS on Channel 58. Or then come to my website, thingsgreen.com.
All right. Now that that's out of the way, let's get to the subject at hand, building a vegetable garden. What are the things you start with? What do you need to do to build a little veggie garden? A little one, if you don't have a lot of space.
If you don't have a lot of space, one of the things that you could do is grow in containers. I was going to say grow in pots, but I think that would your mind might go someplace it shouldn't. But grow in containers, and I don't care if that container is an old shoe. Just get something, throw some soil into there, and go down to your local nursery and garden center. And the first thing you want to start off with are herbs. Every beginner gardener should grow herbs. And the reason is this, is that the second that an herb starts to emerge from a seed, or if you buy it from a little set or a plant that's already grown from your local nursery, you can start grazing on it. Unlike if you were to buy something like tomatoes. Tomatoes take anywhere from 45 to up to 90 days in order for them to get any fruit off of it or vegetable. And who has that kind of time?
So if I start chewing on my herbs when they're like 3-4 inches tall, I'm not putting them in danger of just curling over and dying?
Technically not. I mean, if you were to remove all of the leaves, yes. But if you were to get yourself a basil, get some cilantro, get some sage, and you get one in a 4-inch size container, which is a nice little size container. And if you were to take a couple here, a couple there, every other day or so, then the plant will get bushier. It will actually grow faster. You can put these herbs in a half sun, half shade situation. So if you're living in a condo, an apartment, put it by a window, preferably not one that's in getting full south sun because it'll just fry it. But as long as you're getting some filtered sun or morning sun only, herbs are the great way to go. Now, the number one problem that people get into when they grow vegetable gardens in the first place is those tomatoes that I just talked about. Everybody figures, well, you know what? I'm going to start growing tomatoes. And if you got 6 to 8 hours of direct sunlight, you can do that. And you'll be very successful with that. However, let's do the math. Let's just say, hey, I like these 10 different varieties. I'm going to put them inside these different containers or in the ground. I've got the 6 to 8 hours of direct sunlight. These things start growing. Each tomato plant, if you've done this correctly, will yield you up to 70 pounds of tomatoes.
But I already have a roommate. Where am I going to put all these tomato plants?
Exactly. What are you going to do with 700 pounds of tomatoes? You can't throw that many at your neighbor.
Mamma mia, I'm going to make some sauce. So you probably have to worry about bugs with all of these plants, too. What about some, I've heard about this, diatomaceous earth, and I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, you know what? Can you say words like that on the air? I thought this was a
jeez,
that. Yeah, you know what? Diatomaceous earth is cute. It's great. It's great for controlling things like snails. Diatoms are ground up seashells, and if you're to look under them under a microscope, they're going to be razor sharp. So if you were to take them and sprinkle them around as a snail races on top of that, it's going to end up getting all cut up. It'll do a belly flop, turnover, and, of course, if the plants are outdoors, birds will see that, and they've got some escargot that you fed them.
Well, that's nice. So you could just grind up some seashells yourself and do it that way.
It's a lot cheaper to go buy it. Don't be such a cheapskate.
No, come on.
Look, it works like this. This is how gardening works, and there's an element of truth to it. It takes $80 to grow $10 worth of tomatoes. Because you've got to, you're really thinking about it, and you figure, well, you got to buy the soil, you got to buy the container, you got to buy the plant or the seed, you got to take care of it, you got to water it. So there is a lot that could be involved with it.
Well, I'm not going to grow tomatoes, clearly, now that you've made the case against it.
Yeah. So, okay, we'll dial this back a little
bit. How about some nice like garden lettuce, the kind that you can make a nice mixed salad with?
I'll tell you what's really popular right now. Get yourself a 12-inch saucer, that the kind that you put underneath your pots to catch the water. Fill that up with soil and fill it up almost to the top. Maybe only leave a quarter of an inch on top. Get yourself some lettuce seeds, a mesculine mix, and you throw it on top and you just let it grow. You can do this indoors, by the way. You don't have to do it outdoors. It'd be better if it was outdoors, but do it someplace. Keep the soil moist, not saturated wet. If it's like a sponge, the consistency of a wet sponge, you're rocking and rolling. Then what will happen is the second these things get 3 to 4 inches tall, which will be in a matter of about a week and a half, then you come through with your pair of scissors and you take those baby greens that they're called. These baby greens, you take and you cut them, you've got yourself a scrumptious salad.
Awesome.
Imagine taking and doing 3 or 4 of these things, and each week you've got something that's in the mix, and always something that's growing, always something that you're harvesting from.
Wow. Nick Fedoroff, thanks for just scratching the surface here for us. I think you got you wet our whistle just a little bit. I'm going to go home and grow something. It might be an even better conversation piece than all that prehistoric fossilized feces that we were talking about up for auction.
Yeah. A little. I see. Who was the one who said Dino Dew? That was. I like that. You put it on there.
You're listening to the show. I love that.
I love that thing. Well, listen. If anybody wants to talk to me directly, let me give you my telephone number.
Go for it.
Call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I will call you back. We promise that. And anybody that calls in also gets something free from us. It's 1-800-405-NICK, just like the 405 freeway, and me, Nick Fedoroff, here at the thingsgreen.com Botanical Garden.
Thanks, O Bearded Wonder. We'll talk to you again sometime. That's Nick Fedoroff. All right, we learned. I'm gonna go for the lettuce.
Yeah,
try
no
some
tomatoes.
Herbs. No direct southern sunlight.
Not those kind of herbs.
No. And if you say herbs, you're right out of the club. Hey, we love your comments. We have an email address, feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. On Twitter, we're @AsWeSeeItShow. Facebook.com/PhilHewlettAndFriends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Brooke Peterson is our producer. Production assistant, Nick Wright. Our theme song, composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Jennifer Bjorklund, who returns Monday, Jay Capadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.